Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Welcome to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural. Be the Natural Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter so you can learn even more about how you can heal yourself naturally. And my newsletter is now available on Substack. Now, our guest today is Jerry Portnoy. Jerry Portnoy is a yoga teacher and author from the San Diego area. You can find out more about Jerry Portnoy and her wonderful work at her website, jerryportnoy.com. Welcome, Jerry Portnoy.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such an honor to be here.
So, Jerry Portnoy, we're going to be talking about your new book, Embodied Everyday Awakening, A Guide to Spiritual Transformation in the Midst of Everyday Life. So, first of all, what is awakening? What does that mean?
Right. That's such a great question, because awakening means different things to different people. So awakening means I have an awareness of something that I didn't have an awareness of before. So one type of awakening could be all of a sudden I notice my hips on the chair, or all of a sudden I notice my breath. But wait a minute, my breath was already here. I just wasn't noticing it. So I become aware of something I wasn't aware of a moment ago. And so awakening always happens in the present moment, right now. When I talk about awakening, or in the spiritual context, when we talk about a spiritual awakening, it's often a reference, instead of to something more visible, it's a reference to kind of a background field of inner okayness, a background field that feels like home, a background field of stillness and peace that's not obvious. It's not as obvious even as my breath or as my hips on the chair. But in a similar way, I've become aware of something I wasn't aware of before. And here's a key piece of it. I become aware of something that's already here.
Now, Jerry Portnoy, you and I are both, in addition to being both authors, we're also both yoga teachers. As of this recording, this is my 33rd year teaching yoga. At age 67, I still teach yoga 6 to 9 times a week. You are a yoga teacher. What kind of yoga do you practice and teach?
Well, first, congratulations, and what a service to the world that is. I teach a general form of Hatha yoga, which, as you know, is movement yoga, meaning we're doing poses like Downward Dog, Warrior Two. I have roots in a style of alignment-based yoga called Anusara yoga. So that I also teach with that influence. And I have a background in Ashtanga yoga, but I don't really teach from that background, although that has really informed my own practice and my great love of yoga.
Yes, and at this point, most of us who have taught for a while have studied many different styles of yoga. Now,
Exactly.
you are a yoga teacher and author. How did you first get interested into about spiritual awakening?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. It's really hard to pinpoint. I've been thinking about that. Like, when's that first time? And I would say in a really cognitive way where I'm aware that all of a sudden I'm looking for something. I would say that would be a turning point when I was in college. So I was at the university at the time. I was pre-med, and I was really stressed. And it was before we had all this information on stress, so it was just I really didn't know why I was feeling so kind of run down and unfulfilled, I would say. And then I signed up for a martial arts class. It was actually a karate class. And in that class, I think it was the very first class, the master teacher just had us sit right on the gym floor. And he just said, cross your legs, close your eyes, notice your breath. And then I can't remember exactly. This was eons ago. But basically, it was something like, and notice the space around you, around your breath. And all of a sudden, I just started to feel this greater peace and well-being. And it was a miracle. I thought, wow, what was that? It's not something anyone was teaching me about in any of my college classes. So that would have been my first experience. And it just opened up a curiosity. And then I got curious, like, well, why do I feel it when I'm in class with my teacher, Master Francis? And why don't I feel it, when I go to my calculus class? Like, what's happening? And so that was my first, I would say, gateway into spiritual awakening, that it showed me there's something else here that feels like home. And I just became curious, how can I be more home in myself?
Now, Jerry Portnoy, if someone is listening to this broadcast and we're thinking about our listeners, and they're going through a spiritual awakening, what if someone is going through a spiritual awakening, what are some of the symptoms they might be experiencing?
Yeah, well, first, I'd like to say that there are all kinds of symptoms. So people might be experiencing symptoms I don't mention. So you can trust yourself. If you think you're going through a spiritual awakening, it very may well be that that's what's happening for you. Many people enter the gateway of spiritual awakening through feeling some kind of dissatisfaction. And they might not be able to name it that way. They might not come up to me and say, wow, Jerry, I'm feeling really dissatisfied. But it might show up in terms of some kind of addiction. It could be an addiction to the internet. It could be an addiction to drugs or alcohol. It could be a behavior addiction, like addictions to sex or gambling. So there's all kinds of ways it shows up that there's some kind of inner dissatisfaction that's being, it's the brilliance of our being that we will try to get out of suffering. So one of the ways to get out of suffering is we find something that brings us relief, and then we keep doing that. And then that ultimately becomes its own like new flavor of suffering at some point. So often, spiritual awakening shows up for many people as they've kind of hit the end of some kind of addictive behavior. And they're starting to wonder, like, what's life really about? Why am I here? Who am I? And, I think it was in the Buddha's Four Noble Truths, I think his first truth was something about life is suffering. He said it in his own way, but often the spiritual journey begins when people start to recognize that they're suffering. So then sometimes, like for me, when I went to that karate class, I opened to something different where I wasn't suffering, and the contrast was so dramatic. But often the spiritual journey just begins with the recognition in so many different ways of there must be something more. This can't be all that there is to life. So some flavor could be really mild, or it could be very, very intense and strong. That there's something wrong with me, or something wrong with life. Life shouldn't be this way. And again, a number of different ways, all the symptoms that that shows up as. But basically, symptoms of somehow fighting life and striving and overdoing.
Interesting. So, Jerry Portnor, I've published myself 10 books. My 10th book is called Reading the Soul. In that book, I talk about when I'm doing a medical intuitive reading, when I read the soul level of an individual, what I'm looking for and what I'm looking at, what I'm literally reading. And one of the first things I look at is where a person is in their spiritual journey. So unconscious, like when you're born, you're basically unconscious. And by unconscious, that means that you're not really aware that you're a soul. And then the second stage is what I call awakening and also what you're calling awakening. And so we're exploring the topic of what is awakening. So in my view, when you're awakening, you're realizing, okay, I'm actually a soul. So my view of awakening is realization that you are actually a soul who has a spiritual purpose here on earth. And so you're realizing that you're part of something bigger, some part of something even more meaningful. And then finally, I say that you're conscious. And when you're conscious, you're aware that you're a soul, you're aware of what your soul purpose is, and you're on the path to fulfilling that. And then interesting, like what you're talking about, I asked you, what are the symptoms of awakening? I talk in my book about what I call a breakdown to a breakthrough. So many of us, when we're born, we go through the rituals of the tribe. So if you wear hats to church or don't eat fish on Friday or fast on Saturdays, those are traditions of your tribe and they may be extremely helpful for you. But when you come to a breakdown, to a breakthrough, then everything that you've learned, it's almost like it just doesn't work anymore. And you have to reach through and break through to a bigger understanding. And often at that point, we reach for new tools. And those tools may be different for everybody. So for one person, it may be you begin a meditation practice. For another person, it may be you start a new career. Or get a divorce and start a new phase of your life. But that breakdown to a breakthrough is really an important part of everybody's spiritual awakening. It can often be extremely uncomfortable. You mentioned addiction, so it could be facing something extremely unpleasant or uncomfortable about yourself that you have to face and heal in order to break through to the other side. But again, going back to awakening, when you realize you're a soul, what are the symptoms that people might feel or notice in their life or their awareness when they realize they're a soul?
Yeah, so I would say that's such a beautiful framework. Thank you for sharing that. And I would say from the way I've experienced awakening, it's very similar, like this unconscious. I would say even infants are actually unconscious, but they are awake as consciousness itself, as the fundamental field of okayness. And they have this body. So, when they're more attuned to the field, it's like, oh, being around babies, best thing ever. Because we feel that transmission. We feel that they're attuned, they're more in that spaciousness. And then, of course, they also have a body, and then they land in their body and they're uncomfortable. And, but it's this like unconscious identity as consciousness, as fundamental consciousness. And then at some point in the journey, as you just talked about so beautifully, there's this recognition of like some kind of dissatisfaction. Something doesn't feel right. And then people don't actually realize that. It's like unconscious, but it's propelling them in life. So they're being moved by dissatisfaction. They're getting a new job, they're getting a new relationship. They're trying to get a bigger house, or they're trying to get this or that. But it's this, there's unconsciousness about the suffering. And then there's this like awakening phase to the suffering. I'm aware I'm suffering. And that begins this conscious journey. Now I'm conscious. I'm aware. I'm aware of how much life hurts. I'm aware of my body. And I'm aware of what I'm doing. And then the fourth phase would be moving from that, kind of what you're phrasing as breakdown to breakthrough. Then I'm aware in that breakdown of living unconsciously, really, to this breakthrough of waking up to again a larger identity as consciousness itself. But the embodied awakening is a lot what you're calling soul. So, as this larger field connected to all of life, now consciously connected, and in my body, I can begin to serve life, all of life, from this larger field of conscious connection. And then my kind of my soul gifts or what I'm here to do become the natural thing I'm drawn to do. And it's really a discovery, like a whole new phase of life. For some people, it doesn't look all that much different from what they were doing, but for some people, it means a complete, 180 shift of their life. But yeah, this kind of larger, more invisible realm, the way it interfaces with this very physical uniqueness of you and me and every person, how does that light want to live in life? So, it really becomes something that benefits the individual awakening, but also all their relationships and the wholeness of life itself. So it actually kind of brings a greater health to our whole culture and our whole planet.
Beautiful. And I would add to that, I think that during the awakening process, then instead of having an awareness of only me, or it's all about me, I, me, you begin to, as you awaken, you begin to think and are consciously aware of the we. And the we could be my family, my community, my country, my planet, my garden. And then as you become as you awaken, you become conscious of the all. And you become conscious that whatever I put out into the universe is actually what's coming back. And I know for myself, there have been times it's almost like the veil was lifted for a moment. And it's like, wow, this is the universe supporting me. And so I think that part of the awakening process, you're talking about the suffering and dissatisfaction, but I think also my observation of people's awakening process is that they become aware of the support, the unconditional love, like the universe has your back. And the universe is a friendly place.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say that there is a phase, like it's a progression from more like I'm a victim of life and it's hard and I'm suffering, to ultimately life is caring for me. And ultimately too, I am life. Like I am not separate from life. Like this great spiritual awakening, this benevolence of life, this love that is me at this more essential level. And absolutely what you're speaking to from this more egoic, like a separate sense of self, which is what creates the suffering in the first place. I'm a separate sense of self struggling against this outer world, other people, that the ache of separation. In awakening, as that identity relaxes, there is a natural next level in the relational field with others in the we space. And then, because fundamental consciousness is not limited, it's unlimited, as we identify with that dimension of ourselves, we're naturally more connected to. Connected to is almost like even not the right word, because that implies there's a like, oh, this universe and me, and now I'm connecting to it. It's almost like there's a non-separateness, a distinction. There's definitely a universe, and there's me. There's a tree, and there's me. I don't think I'm the tree, but there's a seamless confluence of connection in this field of love. So, yes, absolutely. It's a whole nother way of living. And it's not just a way of living that the mind, like, not just a better idea or the next affirmation, which can be helpful on the journey, absolutely. To have a next better idea, fantastic. But this is actually the awakening. We wake up to something. Yeah, I love that you mentioned the we space, because that's so, and then the all, that that those are such really beautiful dimensions, that that is the awakening. Suffering is a stage of awakening, to wake up to I'm suffering, but it is not the end. Just to be clear. So I love that you brought all that in. Thank you.
And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. We're listening to Jerry Portnoy, yoga teacher and author of Embodied Everyday Awakening. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Jerry Portnoy, your book is called Embodied Everyday Awakening. You describe awakening not as escaping life, but as awakening within everyday life. What do you mean by that?
Well, initially, when I just described what got me into awakening, and I said, oh, I was in a karate class and we were sitting on the floor, we were meditating, right? The instruction was close your eyes. And as soon as I closed my eyes, initially I felt my body, but then I didn't feel my body. And I just felt the space. And it felt amazing. But as I mentioned, when I opened my eyes and I went to calculus class next, like whatever that piece was, it seemed like it was gone. So like that's one example, like meditating and then, wow, I'm at peace. I know who I am. I'm connected. And then it seems to be gone. So that's a stage of awakening. It's like a glimpse. You get a glimpse. I got a glimpse of something else that started me on the path and allowed me to know that there's something more that's real. It's real. And initially, I thought the only place I could find that was with my eyes closed, meditating, that I had a kind of go away from life, because obviously look around, life is hard. I don't see this piece right here when I read the newspaper. So, but awakening in everyday life, it is this next move of awakening that happens naturally. So initially, even for the ancient yogis, if we go way back and we read about these yogis, they came into meditation and they basically left this world to find, quote unquote, another world. And so there were two. There was this peace I find in meditation, and then there's this, like, now I'm back here and life is hard. But this embodied awakening, which is just the next, it's the next evolutionary movement of awakening. It's not something we make happen, but it's that through the body, right here in life, eyes open, walking through the grocery store, driving on the freeway, having a difficult conversation with our children or our friends, that this field of awakening, this larger identity of who we are, is right here. It's always here. So that I can start to tune into this in the midst of life as a resource, as an essential resource for living a full human life. It's almost like our true humanity depends on realizing essentially who we really are in life, so we can respond the way we long to respond, so we can be the people we long to be. Not because we're trying harder, but because, we've reconnected to a place of peace and well-being as our feet are right here on the earth, as we're walking through our everyday life with a messy challenges and delightful and beautiful moments, both.
Now, Jerry Portnor, here we are at the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. And I talked about in my book, Reading the Soul and the Three Phases, Unconscious, Awakening, and Conscious. In your opinion, as the author of Embodied Everyday Awakening, what are the health benefits of awakening? Once we realize that we're part of the all, how does that benefit us, mind, body, or spirit?
Right. I would say it is the great elixir, right? That it is actually all healing on whatever level we find it is so beautiful. And there are so many different ways to do that. So this is not the only way. However, this is the foundation of all else. So in my experience, it creates, like, mentally, it helps relax that default mode network that's always looking around for danger, the mind that's always thinking, this defensive structure that puts us at war with each other. So it creates more of a, like, a relaxation and a parasympathetic reset for the nervous system. When people's nervous system resets into parasympathetic because they feel more at home in themselves, their relationships soften. So the health of the relational field becomes better. Their physical health becomes better because when I'm in the first mode of life and I'm pushing all the time, it's like I'm using an energy source that's limited. My DNA or my not my DNA, but my mitochondria, the energy source of my cells, are ultimately going to wear down from overuse, like this whole sympathetic stress response. So as I wake up and find that I'm at home, that I'm relaxed, that I don't have to be in that striving, defensive hamster wheel movement, physically, my body heals. I feel more energy. I'm not burnt out. Emotionally, awakening brings us into this larger field. It's like this larger ocean of consciousness where, yes, I'm going to have these difficult emotions. I'm going to read the paper and I'm going to feel grief over something awful that's happening. And that's a natural response, right? I wouldn't want to feel happiness over something awful happening. But to have more space for all the emotions to flow without being stuck. So I would say that, it's like that's what really creates unhealth is when we get stuck, when the mind gets fixated, when the body doesn't have enough energy to keep moving and circulating. So, Consciousness allows our energy to flow more. So we're just really more in the flow of health on all levels, physical, emotional, mental. And this level of health that we don't really usually see, although it's so beautiful because you've been talking about it and you wrote a book about it, but like we could call it spiritual health also, that I know I belong, that I know I'm a part of something greater, that there's an essential goodness that, as you said so beautifully, like the universe has my back, right? Like this, it just resets the whole, like, very physical organism into a whole new rhythm of health.
Beautiful. So, Jiri Portner, so far we've been talking about what is awakening. Your book is called Embodied Everyday Awakening. What do you mean by embodied awakening?
Embodied, a simple way to describe that might be this notion of a movement from living in the thinking mind, I'm thinking about life, to dropping down as I open today to feel the breath. So, right now, when I feel my breath, it's like that's a moment of embodiment. It's a moment of coming home to my body. And if I put like a hand on where I feel my breath, now I can feel my hand and I can feel my breath. And I start to feel my hips maybe, and even my feet on the ground. But wait a minute, my feet were already on the ground. They were already on the ground, but the embodiment is. It's like I've moved out of the room of my mind that is the human habit right now. Like we've been trained, we've been conditioned to live here and do that very well. But this embodiment means I take awareness that's usually here on the train of my thought and I drop it down to start to sense and feel my body. And it really helps. If I start with something neutral, as we talk about in the yoga tradition, like the breath. So if I come into the body and I feel my breath, or I come into the body and I feel my feet on the earth, we could call these resources, embodiment resources. And then as I come into the body, embodiment also includes I'm going to meet the painful places in my body. And so awakening also includes making space for that. So then I can start to respond to that. If my back hurts and I'm in my body and I notice that, I can then start doing yoga. I can start doing qigong. I can start moving more. I can actually start taking care of this sacred temple that houses our consciousness that is really consciousness itself in form. So, embodiment is living instead of just identifying with my thought, with what I think, sort of like Descartes, I think, therefore I am. And it's more, I feel. I feel, therefore I am becoming more and more embodied. And it's, this gift of awakening to the field of fundamental consciousness allows for embodiment. To feel more joyful, to feel more beautiful.
Wonderful. Now, I remember years ago listening to a lecture by Candace Pert. And Candace Pert was a scientist. She was the co-discoverer of endorphins. And she made a very interesting comment. She said, and I'm going to actually say it twice. She said, if you want to understand what's going on in your unconscious mind, just look down at your body. So if you want to understand what's going on with your unconscious mind, just look down at your body. So, as a medical intuitive healer, one of the fundamental premises of my work is that consciousness actually exists in the body. And every organ, every muscle, every fiber of your physical body is related to an energy system in your self, emotions, thoughts, and even what's going on with you at the soul level. So, to put it another way, your physical body is a reflection of your consciousness. Just like if you were looking at a lake and saw your reflection in the water, your physical body is, and what's showing up in your physical body is a reflection of your consciousness. So with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, and we're listening to Jerry Portnoy, author of Embodied Everyday Awakening. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Jerry Portnoy, in your book, you talk about something you refer to as fundamental consciousness. And what is fundamental consciousness?
Fundamental consciousness is that which is most fundamental to all of life. So if we trace back to the Big Bang, the scientists tell us that out of nothing came something. That became everything. That became our planet, our solar system, the giraffes in Africa, our favorite dog, the music of Bach, and ourselves. So out of nothing is what science says, came something that became everything. We call that the Big Bang. And fundamental consciousness then is that consciousness which was already present, which science calls nothing, the nothingness out of which something came. And so it's that essence out of which the first particles, matter, antimatter, came, and there was more matter than antimatter, and it went on to the next stage of development. So our evolutionary development of our universe emanates from fundamental consciousness. And, you know, the story that science tells us is a star, Tiamat, which would have been made of fundamental consciousness, exploded and became our solar system and our Earth. So we come from the stars, from this ancient star, Tiamat, that exploded, and then gases and matter coalescing into Earth and life evolving. So all of this, we could call it all of creation, emanates from fundamental consciousness.
Okay, so we're talking today about what is awakening and what is embodied awakening. In your opinion, what are the biggest obstacles people face from their ego in waking up to the awareness of we and all, and that we're all part of something greater, the one?
Right. So it relates back to this fundamental consciousness that we already are. So we already are that, and we are that in form, because consciousness has evolved through 14 billion years into form, into the form of me and you. And what's obvious is I'm a form. I'm this separate self. And so the embodied awakening is, as I go into my body, I can start, my body's almost like a, it becomes like an instrument for registering this other dimension of myself, this holy, sacred part connected to the all. And then from here, from being at home in my body, I can also see this background field and feel this background field that connects me to you right now, whether we're talking or not. Because you're of that same essence. The trees are of that same essence, the stars. So the embodiment helps me wake up beyond ego. Ego is really just the thinking mind that looks and says, I'm separate. You know, it's like when a baby moves from unconscious, I'm everything, to, you know, adults keep telling me I'm separate. Culture keeps telling me I'm separate. We like take on this false identity. In yoga tradition, it's one of the kleshas, the afflictions of mind. Asmita, I am separate. I grasp for pleasure, I push away discomfort, but the ego relaxes in awakening. It's almost like it was just a defensive structure we learned. It relaxes and we open again as fundamental consciousness, living as a body never seen before, a soul never lived before, a light that's never been here on earth before in this unique form.
So, Jiri Portner, what are a few simple ways that people can start listening, living an embodied awakening in everyday life?
One simple way to live more of an embodied awakening in everyday life would be as you walk through life to feel your feet on the ground. And another way to live a more embodied awakening would be to feel your breath in your body before you start to speak to someone else. Often we're not. We could use the word present. We're not present because we're living up here. We're thinking instead of, again, feeling. So, whatever I can do to come into my body, sometimes it's a hand on my heart. That felt sense of just my hand on my heart, it not only connects me to my body, which it does, but it also kind of softens something. Why is it that I'm not aware of fundamental consciousness, that larger field that I am every moment of life? It's because, like, there's this tensing against it. So, just a hand on the heart sometimes can just soften that edge of separation. And all of a sudden, I'm feeling more embodied, but I'm also feeling more connected. It reminds me of the heart, like the heart that connects to other humans. But if I'm just in my head, I'm missing all these other dimensions of who I am.
Beautiful. Now, Jiri Portnoy, my question is, how do we avoid spiritual ego? So we talk about ego, and in our culture, especially in the spiritual business, such as the yoga world or, workshops, many people set themselves up like I'm enlightened, I've got it all figured out, and they pretend to put themselves on a stage above everyone else. Whereas my understanding is that as we are awakening and as we're conscious that we're all on this journey together. How do we avoid the trap of the spiritual ego?
A spiritual, well, like a spiritual ego is almost like an oxymoron in a sense. Anyways, it doesn't kind of go together because the spiritual awakening itself wakes us up to this, like your presence in this field of connectedness. Right? On this level, we are all one. We are all the same. And then there is a hierarchy also, which is like if I'm going to have a surgery, I would like a surgeon that went to med school and is trained and has certain skills and awarenesses other than everybody else who's also at one with me. So there's like a both and, but in the true awakening, it's just whatever it is, whether I'm a surgeon or I'm a spiritual teacher or I'm a parent, that they're all, it doesn't put us above creation in any way. It actually, we're a part of creation that has a certain, Maybe like as a yoga teacher, you have a certain ability to teach yoga, but that doesn't like put one above creation. It just like highlights the uniqueness. But underlying it is our sameness. So yeah, so when I'm, when there are people touting themselves as above everybody else because they're awake, yeah, that's not really how I've experienced it. I've actually experienced almost like the opposite. It's very humbling because it's like, oh my gosh, I'm a part of this great creation. I'm a part of this great creation that's been ongoing for so long, and I have come into the world, and you have come into the world, and everybody else. What a miracle to be here. So there's almost like a humbleness that comes with awakening to the grandeur of what all of us are, who all of us are.
So, Jerry Portner, final question for our audience. What one thing do you really want people to understand about embodied everyday awakening?
I would like everyone to understand that this is just the next, and here's the key word, natural stage of our human development. It's a stage that hasn't been talked about as much as other stages, but it's so beautiful that you've written books about it, that I wrote a book about it, that we have so many people nowadays awake and talking about it. But it's the next natural stage to your listeners of your own awakening, that this is your birthright to wake up and know who you are. And that you're already on your journey. You're already on your journey. Each step you're making is part of your great awakening journey.
Beautiful message. You've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me at katherinekerrigan.com and unlimitedenergynow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter, which is now available on Substack. Our guest today, Jerry Portnoy, yoga teacher, author of Embodied Everyday Awakening, and you can find out more about Jerry Portnar and her wonderful work at jerrypoitnar.com. And remember, when you let go of your illusion of separateness and connect and feel your divine connection to all that is, you can experience healing naturally. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.